And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, here we are again. It's 8 minutes after 11 p.m. on the WGN Radio Theater. This is program 80. So happy to be here. It's May 22nd. Happy Sunday. Lisa Wolf to my right with her new haircut. Looking great. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl.
And Mike Costello's here tonight. Mike, our executive producer. He wasn't here yesterday. He was busy. Right, Mike?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. And then in the booth, Shane Reardon. What's up, Shane? How are you?
You didn't notice my new haircut, Carl.
No. I only notice haircuts on women. Sorry.
It's okay.
But it does look very nice, though.
There's no different.
No different. Okay, so then I don't feel so badly. So this is our 80th show, Lisa. 8-0.
8-0.
We've done 80 of these.
8-0.
And I hope we can do 8 million more.
Yes, for the next 300 years, 300, as we were talking about.
We were thinking 300 years would be the right number. Three more,
yes.
300 more years we want to be here.
I'm ready for it.
And this is where we play classic radio shows every Saturday and Sunday night on this legendary station, Radio 720 WGN, 11 p.m. till 2 in the morning. We have 6 hours on the weekends to play classic radio, and tonight we will have an hour-long Lux Radio Theater presentation of The 39 Steps, the movie that was directed by Alfred Hitchcock. And in this particular radio broadcast, Ida Lupino stars with Robert Montgomery, because this is a salute to Ida Lupino. Also tonight, we'll hear Suspense with Ida Lupino from 1949. All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
The Accountant is an action film starring this actor who makes his living as a freelance accountant for a dangerous criminal organization.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. What do they win?
We are giving away a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati, some of Chicago's very best deep dish pizza.
All right, now here's a hint. This actor can be heard here in a scene from Gone Girl.
Well, I hope you don't mind me coming by. I got your address from this letter that you wrote my wife.
All right, if you know who that very famous actor is, call us now, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
This is our 80th show of WGN Radio Theater, and we're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
Well, I hope you don't mind me coming by. I got your address from this letter that you wrote my wife.
Let us talk to Chris from Lockport. Hey, Chris. We have Chris.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
There we go.
There's Chris. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. We're glad you're with us, and we're hoping you recognize that voice.
That'd be Ben Affleck.
You are right, Chris. You are a winner. You know what you've won, a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's very best deep dish pizza. You can check out one of their 40-plus locations and order online at loumalnati's.com. Hey, Chris, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks a lot. You take care now.
Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Chris. All right, it's time for our salute to Ida Lupino. Now, last night, we saluted Howard Duff. And Howard Duff and Ida Lupino were married for quite a few years. And we thought it'd be fun to listen to Howard Duff on Saturday and then Ida Lupino on Sunday. Ida Lupino did a lot of radio, TV, movies, and then later in her career, she became a very, very prominent director and producer of television and films. So a very storied career. And we are going to listen to her here in an hour-long Lux Radio Theater presentation. We're going to cut this hour-long show up into four parts. We'll play part one and part two in this hour, parts three and four in our second hour. And then in our third hour, we'll tune into a different show, Suspense, with Ida Lupino. So Lux Theater, Lisa, was probably the longest and most extravagant show from radio's golden age. And the greatest stars appeared in hour-long adaptations of their biggest motion pictures. It was really neat because these motion pictures were usually 70, 80, 90 minutes, right? You go to the theater.
Sure.
And then they had to adapt it for radio airplay, and they did an amazing job getting it adapted down and edited down to under an hour because, you know, with the commercials and everything, really the content was probably 45, 50 minutes. And generally they had the original film stars coming back to perform their roles in front of the microphones. And Cecil B. DeMille was the host from 1936 all the way to 1945. And it had the biggest stars in Hollywood, Cary Grant, Jimmy Stewart, Orson Welles, Betty Davis, you name it, they were on Lux. We have one now for you from December 13th, 1937, going back to 1937, for the 39 Steps, starring Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino. Here's part one of the Lux Radio Theater.
From Hollywood, California, the Lux Radio Theater presents Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino in the 39 Steps. Lux presents Hollywood. For your loyalty to our products, Lux says thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and brings you another hour of entertainment direct from the film capital. Tonight, we star Robert Montgomery, Ida Lupino, Isabel Jewell, and Jean Lockhart, with Major C.E. Russell, formerly of the United States Intelligence Service, as the evening's special guest. Louis Silvers conducts the orchestra. And here beside me, our producer and your host, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. The 39 Steps lead an old friend and a newcomer, Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino, to the stage of the Lux Radio Theater. Since here last, Robert Montgomery's been rushing back and forth between two lots. One is the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer studio, where with Rosalind Russell, he's completed Live, Love, and Learn. The other is a lot in Beverly Hills, on which Bob has just finished building a new home with a beautiful library. And Bob is a man who really uses his library, for he's constantly seeking new screen material. President of the Screen Actors Guild, Bob devotes at least three nights a week to that organization. So this fall, he took time off to go to his farm in New York State for a few weeks of partridge and pheasant hunting. His favorite Hollywood sport is tennis, in which activity he's expert enough to be the frequent opponent of Sidney Wood, the ex-Davis Cup player. Bob is heard tonight as Richard Hannay in The 39 Steps, adapted from the Gaumont British film, which in turn was taken from the novel by John Buchan. Gaumont British will shortly release The Girl Was Young, starring Nova Pilbeam, and Derek DeMarnay, directed by Alfred Hitchcock. Ida Lupino is a girl I watch very closely and suggest that you do the same. For every Lupino seems destined for greatness in the theater. To American film audiences, she's the best-known representative of perhaps the oldest stage family in the world. 350 years ago, when acting was considered a crime in Italy, Alfredo Lupino, acrobat and troubadour, fled from Naples, turned gypsy, and eventually found welcome and fame in England. Ever since then, Lupinos have added to the excellence of England's entertainment. Ida's father is Stanley Lupino, among London's most popular comedians. She has a sister, two cousins, three uncles, and five aunts, all noted performers, while her mother is Connie Emerald, once a celebrated dancer. Along with 3.5 centuries of tradition, Ida has inherited a turned-up nose, violet eyes, and blonde hair. She's an excellent musician and painter, can speak the language of the deaf and dumb, whistled as well as a farm boy, likes to wear sneakers, and is a prize mimic. A highly entertaining miss, you meet her tonight in the role of Pamela. Isabel Jewell, featured in such hit films as Lost Horizon and Marked Woman, is heard as Annabella. And Jean Lockhart, top-flight character actor, back from the New York stage, is Mr. Memory. And now for the play. The Lux Radio Theater presents Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino in The 39 Steps with Isabel Jewell and Jean Lockhart. A London music hall. The evening performance is on and the theater is jammed to the doors. The audience has sat comfortably through the acrobats, the singers, and the whirlwind dancers. But now they're restless. The manager appears on the stage to announce the feature act. His hand is raised for silence.
Ladies and gentlemen! Ladies and gentlemen! With your kind permission, I now have the honor to present to you one of the most remarkable men in the world. I present Mr. Memory. Every day, this remarkable mentality commits 50 new facts to memory. 50, ladies and gentlemen. Facts from history, geography, newspapers, scientific books. Millions and millions of them. And he remembers them all. Test him, ladies and gentlemen, test him. Ask him any questions you like, and he will answer fully and freely. Mr. Memory.
Thank you. Thank you. Now then, ladies and gentlemen, a question, please. A question from anyone in the audience.
Who won the Derby in 1921?
Mr. Jack Joel's Humanist. Steve Dunne, you up. Won by a length. Odds 6-1. Am I right, sir? Thank you very much. Thank you. Question, please. Do not hesitate. Another question, please.
Who was the last British heavyweight champion?
Bob Fitzsimmons. He defeated Jim Corbett, heavyweight champion of America, at Carson City, Nevada, in October 1897. He was then 34 years of age. Am I right, sir? Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Memory, who won the Football Cup in 1926?
Would you mind repeating that question again, young man?
Who won the Football Cup in 1926?
Bolton Wanderers defeated Manchester City at Wembley by 3-1 in the presence of His Majesty the King. Am I right, sir?
Right there.
Thank you. Another question, please.
Hey, what's my old man been since last Tuesday?
Madam, he's been where you can't ask him silly questions. Will the lady in the gallery please confine her questions to those of a more serious nature? Thank you very much.
Memory. Who killed Cock Robin?
Gentlemen, no fighting. No fighting, please, gentlemen. Keep your seats. Everybody, keep your seats. Don't crowd the aisles. No. Orchestra, play something. Quick, there'll be a panic. Play something.
Let the lady through there. Will you stand back, please?
Oh, help me, please.
Hold on to my arm, miss. I'll get you out of this. Get back there. Clear the aisle there, will you? This way, miss. This way. Come on.
There you are, miss. Take a good deep breath.
Oh, thank you.
You all right?
Yes, sir. I had to get out of that theater, that's all.
A lot of people had that idea.
Oh, it wasn't the panic that frightened me. It was something else.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
I'm in terrible trouble. Will you help me?
Trouble? What kind of trouble?
I can't tell you here. Can we go someplace and talk?
Well, my flat is nearby.
Oh, let's go there. But hurry, please.
Go in, miss.
Thank you.
Now, if I can find this light switch...
Oh, no. Don't turn on the lights.
What?
Don't turn them on. It will be safer.
I'm afraid I don't...
Will you pull down the blinds, please?
Very well. This just puts me doubly in the dark. My name's Richard Hannay. Any objections to telling me yours?
No, it's Annabella Smith.
Smith? Not really.
Is there anything wrong with it?
No, just an unusual name. What's this all about? You said you were in trouble.
You don't believe me, do you?
I believe you're slightly hysterical.
If I am, I have good reason. I was the one who fired those shots in that theater tonight.
You? Why?
I had to do something to create a disturbance. I had to get away from there. There were two men in that theater who wanted to kill me.
Oh, come on.
You've got to believe me.
But why should anyone want to kill you?
Because I'm what you would call a professional spy.
A spy? Whom do you spy for?
Anyone who pays me.
I suppose you're here to dig up some big state secret.
No. I'm here to save a secret. For England.
Oh. Go on, please.
The agent of a certain foreign power is on the point of obtaining a secret vital to your air defense. I tracked two of his men to that music hall. Unfortunately, they recognized me. That's why they're after me now. You still don't believe me, do you?
No, frankly, I don't, Annabella.
Very well. If you will look out of that window, you will see two men standing across the street. Look, please do.
All right. I'll play your game a bit further.
Oh, don't let them see you. Well?
By Jove, you're right. Two of them. They seem to be looking up here.
Come away, please. Do you believe me now?
Well, I suppose I must.
I'm going to tell you something that's not very healthy to know. But now that they've followed me here, you're in it as much as I am.
Yeah, so it seems.
Have you ever heard of the 39 steps?
39 steps? No, what are they?
Never mind, but this much you must know. If those men are not stopped, it's only a matter of days, perhaps hours, before the secret is out of the country.
Why not call the police?
Because they wouldn't believe me any more than you did. And if they did believe me, how long do you think it would take them to get going? Those men are acting quickly. You don't know how clever their chief is. Clever and ruthless.
Well, what's his name?
He has a dozen names, and he can look like 100 people. But there's one thing he can't disguise. The top of the little finger on his right hand is missing.
Oh. Come on, now, you're trembling.
I'm frightened.
Well, you needn't be. You're safe here, you know. What you need is a good night's rest.
Oh, yes, I do.
You can have my bedroom. I'll sleep on the couch here in the living room.
Are you sure you don't mind?
Sleeping on the couch? Well, I've done it dozens of times.
No. I mean, being in danger.
I'm not quite convinced of that yet. Is there anything I can get you?
Yes. Have you a map of Scotland, please?
A map of Scotland? I have an atlas over here somewhere. If I can... Oh, yes, here it is. You going deer stalking or just plain hiking?
There's a man in Scotland I must see next if there is anything to be done.
I see. Are the 39 steps in Scotland?
Perhaps I'll tell you tomorrow. Good night, Mr. Henning. Thank you.
Good night, Annabella. Pleasant dreams. Annabella. Annabella, was that you? Annabella, open that door. Will you open that door, or do I have to break it down? Annabella, where are you?
Oh,
I... Here, look at me. What's happened? What's the matter?
They came through the window. One of them had a knife.
Knife?
Oh, don't touch me.
But you're hurt. You're bleeding. Here, I'll call a doctor.
Oh, it's no use. Listen, you've got to stop those men. In a few days, they'll have the secret out of the country.
But how will I stop them?
Kenreach. The professor.
Kenreach?
Kenreach. Scotland.
What's there? Who is this professor? What's in Kenreach?
They're up. They'll get you. Like they did me.
Annabella. Annabella. Good God.
There's the first portion of the 39 Steps from 1937, starring Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino. Let's take a break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Welcome back. Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Esmeralda. I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate our listeners because they stay up late with us, Lisa, on the weekends.
Stay up late with you on the weekends.
Know. Yeah, but you know what? We wouldn't have a show if it wasn't for our listeners.
That's true.
We have to let them know we appreciate you, and we do appreciate you going to our Facebook page and liking us as well. Thank you for that. Right, Mike?
Absolutely. WGN Radio Theater. Just hop on Facebook. Check it out.
know, we talked about yesterday that you say hop
you.
On.
Yeah, Carl, yeah, Carl said see, jump on. I said, like no. Mike says, and I said, no, it's hop on.
Are you sure about that?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not a real phrase or anything. I just make it up, and that's what I stuck with.
We're going to go with hop on.
You know what? You just, that's your story. Just stick with it.
That's
right,
what
Mike?
I'm doing.
Yeah, we so, just like to tease you when you're not here. Don't worry about it, Mike.
Absolutely.
You know what's really cool, too? And Shane, he works very hard to do this. He stays here late after the show, and he puts our podcast up. And you know what, Shane? Thank you very much for that. Our listeners really appreciate it as well. And you are the main man, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Really appreciate that. Yeah, I you know, if I was listening to the show, I'm sure you know, you doze off every once in a while. It's late. We're on late. I mean, I doze off doing the show, so I could imagine
exactly.
Listening to the show. And the podcast is the catch-all. It's a save-all. It's a sort of a, you know, it's the parachute. The trampoline, right?
Keep going.
What else? It's a safety net.
Good.
How's that, right?
Good one.
Probably that's what I meant by
probably.
Trampoline. Trampoline you bounce off of.
You can check that out on WJamRadio.com.
Yes.
I listen to the podcast. I listen to the podcast. I Bluetooth it in my car. It's the one technology thing I can do.
Bluetooth.
Is Bluetooth. It's the one. I don't know why or how I'm able to do that. It's just a miracle. I get in my car and then
it connects.
Well, someone connected it ahead of time for me. Probably you, Mike.
Maybe.
You know, I get in the car and lo and behold, I'm able to talk through my speakers. It's crazy. I feel like I'm like with the rest of you people.
Yeah, you're
getting there. In the 20th century.
Yeah, you're catching up.
Right? So I don't know how we got off on that tangent, but we're listening.
You don't say we. You. Don't bring us down with you.
We're listening to a salute to Ida Lupino. We're in the midst of a Lux Radio Theater presentation of the 39 Steps, of course, based on the famous Alfred Hitchcock movie, which was based on a novel written in 1915, the year you were born, Lisa.
Yes.
Back in 1950.
I actually saw this play a couple of times here in Chicago.
Did you? Yeah, 39 Steps.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is sponsored by Lux Toilet Soap. Actually, that's what it was called, Lux Toilet Soap. Doesn't sound like I would want to buy that product, but it sold a lot of them. And CBS was the network. A listener sent us a text earlier, or was it a text, that said Robert Montgomery is Elizabeth Montgomery's dad.
Yeah, I believe
yes,
that's
indeed.
On the Facebook page for WGN.
Right, you're listening to Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino on this. Yeah, good old Elizabeth Montgomery from Bewitched.
Right.
She was great.
The
Loved
best.
Her on that show. All right, let's get back now to part two of the Lux Radio Theater.
Aberdeen Express, Edinburgh, Kirkcaldy.
Ticket to Kinrich, please.
One, sir?
Yes, one. Hurry, please.
One to Kinrich, Scotland. Here you are, sir.
Excuse me, is this seat taken?
Not by us, it ain't. Sit down, young fella.
Thank you.
I said, Jess. Who won the 2 o'clock at Epsom?
Here it is. Bachelor Button, odd 7-4.
Oh, Bachelor Button, eh?
Hello, look at this. Another woman murdered in a West End flat.
Murdered, eh? Who was she?
A well-dressed woman of about 25 was found with a knife in her back. The tenant, Richard Annay, is missing.
Blimey, if that ain't the blasted limit. Missing, eh?
The police are hot on the trail and watching with careful eye all points of departure from London.
Oh, so that was what they was a-doing, eh?
Who?
Scotland Yard. Two plainclothes bobbies. I seen them get on this train. Asking plenty of questions they was, too.
Look here. Here's a picture of that, eh, chap?
Let's have a squint at him. Rum-looking lot, ain't he?
Excuse me.
Here, young fellow, where are you going? Don't you like that seat?
Oh, thank you. I just remembered.
In a bit of a hurry, wasn't he?
He was that. I say.
What?
I say.
Oh, I beg your pardon. This is a private compartment.
Oh, is it?
Yes, and it happens to be occupied.
Yeah, so I see. Very charmingly, too.
Well, what do you want, please?
Your hospitality for a short while.
Really? Well, I'm not interested. Now, will you please go?
I can't.
What?
It isn't safe.
Listen, are you going or shall I call the conductor?
No, don't do that.
Stop, you're hurting my wrist.
I'm sorry, Listen to me. I want your help.
My help?
I'm Richard Hannay.
Hannay? Why, you're the man the police...
Yes, but I'm innocent. I swear I'm innocent. Listen, you've got to help me. It's terribly important that I be free for the next few days. You will help me, won't you?
Yes. Yes, of course I will.
That's fine. I'm sorry if I hurt your wrist.
Oh, that's all right. You say the police are on this train looking for you?
Yes, that's why I forced my way in here.
Oh, I see. And just how am I supposed to help you?
Well, they're looking for a man traveling alone. If I stay here with you, they'll think we're together. We'll pose as man and wife, and they won't pay any attention to us. They'll just pass us by.
How clever you are.
You'll do it?
Yes, of course.
Say, you're all right. What's your name?
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Nothing. I just wanted to know who my benefactress was, that's all.
Well, I'm Pamela Stewart.
Pamela? Oh, that's rather pretty. Suits you.
Thank you.
There they are now. Remember, I'll sit here and pretend to read. You do the talking.
All right. Come in.
Excuse me. Have either of you seen a man pass here? Young fella, smooth-shaven?
Why, no. Wait, are you the police?
That's right, miss.
Then this is the man you want. He forced his way in here and told me his name was Richard Hannay.
Why, did I? Come here, you.
Let go of me.
Are you Richard Hannay? Well, speak up.
Yes. Thank you very much, Miss Stewart.
Well, you didn't expect me to harbor a murderer, did you?
Unfortunately, I did. And I am not a murderer.
We'll see about that. Come on, Hannay.
Certainly, gentlemen. I'll go with you willingly. In fact, I'll lead the way.
Grab him. He's gone. Here, get after him. Open that door.
I can't. He's holding it from the other side.
Here, let me try. Together now. One, two, three. Get out of the way. Where is he? Where did he go?
Here he is, down the passageway.
Stop him. Grab him before he gets to the best of you.
Come back here, you. Come back, you. Stop, stop.
Have you got him?
No, he's gone.
What?
He jumped. He jumped off the train.
The fool. He's probably lying dead in a ditch.
No. The last I've seen of him, he was on his 2 feet and running like a rabbit.
Two days have passed, and Richard Hannay, wanted for a murder he did not commit, is still at large. Determined to discover the secret of the 39 steps, he's made his way to Scotland. The driver of a donkey cart has given him a lift, and he's now on the last leg of the journey, the outskirts of the village of Kinreach.
Are you going to stay long in Kinreach, laddie?
Well, it all depends. I'm looking for work. You suppose I could find something?
Hey, me doots, laddie. Kinreach is a mighty small town. What do you do?
I'm a chauffeur.
Well, I'm thinking you'd better try somewhere else, then. What folks has need chauffeurs, and Kinreach has had them for years.
Oh, I see. But aren't there any newcomers? I mean, somebody told me about...
Now, wait a minute. Come to think of it, I did hear something. About a retired professor moving into the big house on the edge of the moor.
A professor? Yes. Yes, that's it. I can try it anyhow.
Yes, sir?
I'd like to see the master, please.
What name shall I say?
He doesn't know my name, but you might ask him if he knows Annabella Smith.
Yes, sir. Would you mind waiting in there?
Is there someone for me, George?
Oh, yes, Professor. How do you do?
How do you do? My name is Hammond. I've come from London. From Annabella Smith.
Oh. Well, do come in, please. You must be tired. We can talk in the library. My daughter's having an engagement party. I'd rather not disturb her.
Yes, of course.
Go right in, please.
Thank you.
Sit down. Will you have a drink?
No, thank you.
Well, now what did you want to see me about? Mr. Hannay.
Hannay, you know me.
Yes. I suppose it's safe to call you by your right name now. What about our mutual friend, Annabella?
She's been murdered.
I know. Poor girl. The police are looking for you.
Yes, but I didn't do it.
Oh, of course you didn't. But why come all this way to Scotland to tell me about it?
Well, I believe she hoped to come to see you about some air ministry secret. She was killed by a foreign agent who was trying to steal it.
Oh. Did she tell you what this foreign agent looked like?
No, she hadn't time. She... Oh, yes. There was one thing. She told me the top of his little finger is missing.
On which hand, Mr. Hannay?
On the left, I believe.
Are you sure it wasn't on the right?
It might have been.
Like on my hand, Mr. Hannay?
Good Lord. Then you're the one she...
The one she was trying to warn you against. The chief. You misunderstood her. She meant for you to kill me, not to bring me information.
Yes. Well, what are we going to do about it?
Ah, that's just the point. What are we going to do? You see, I live here as a respectable citizen. I should hate to have it known that I am not what I seem to be. You understand my position.
Oh, yes, quite.
What makes it doubly important that I shouldn't let you go is that I'm just about to transfer some very vital information out of the country.
What?
Oh, yes. I've got it already. I'm afraid poor Annabella would have been too late in any case.
Well, that's that, I suppose.
Yes. Well, what about it, Mr. Hannay?
What about what?
Yourself. It seems to me there's only one way out.
And what's that?
I've a small revolver here. Pretty little thing, isn't it? Supposing I left you alone with this. The newspapers could then announce tomorrow morning that the murderer had taken his own life.
You want me to kill myself?
Yes.
You're mad. I won't do it.
Then I'm afraid you leave me no alternative. You should have stayed in London, my friend. Oh, George. George.
Yes, Professor?
I want your help, please. There's a little job for us inside.
Hannay?
Yes. We'll carry him to the garage. When it gets dark, we can drop him off on the road somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Come in.
Where is he, sir?
Behind that table.
Yes, sir?
Yes. Pick him up and...
I'm sorry, sir, but there's no one here.
What?
Well, you can see for yourself.
But I shot him. The body was lying there on the floor.
The body, sir? Seems to have disappeared.
Get out of the road, please. What do you mean by standing in front of my car? You might have been killed.
Sorry, lady. I just wanted a lift. Would you mind...
Well, Miss Stewart, how do you do?
You? Well, what are you doing
Richard
here?
Hannay is my name. I believe we've met. On a train, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, I think so.
Yes. Yes, if I remember correctly, you handed me over to the police. You did, didn't you?
Oh, get away from me.
Oh, don't worry. I don't hold it against you, really.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Yes, isn't it? What are you doing in Kenrich?
I live here.
It's a charming place, isn't it? You know where the local police station is?
Oh, of course I do.
Will you take me there?
What?
The police station, in a hurry, please.
Certainly. Well, I suppose you know what you're doing.
Oh, yes. You see, I know who killed Annabella Smith.
Is that so?
The same man who shot me a few minutes ago.
Shot you?
Yes.
Where?
Right in the cigarette case. See? There's a hole in one side of it. Handy little thing, cigarette cases. If I hadn't been carrying it about in my vest pocket, the hole would have been in my chest.
Mm, and who was this arch-villain?
Gentleman called the Professor.
Professor? Oh, now, you don't mean Professor Bartlett.
I didn't stop to inquire his last name.
Oh, come now,
it isn't as funny as that.
Do you actually mean you're going to the police with this story? That Professor Bartlett shot you? That he's the one who killed Annabella Smith?
Of course, why not?
Oh, and you expect them to believe it, I suppose.
Well, you don't, evidently.
No, neither will they. Professor Bartlett, a murderer. Why, he's one of the best-liked men in the village and a very good friend of the sheriff's. I'm sure the sheriff will be interested in your story, Mr. Hannay.
Yes. Yes, I see your point. Hadn't occurred to me that... Stop the car, please. I'm getting out.
Oh, no, you're not.
Stop this car.
You said you wanted to go to the police. Well, that's just where you're going. And if you touch me or make a move to jump, I'll turn this car into a ditch.
Well, aren't you the sweet little thing?
Now, you just sit tight, Mr. Hannay, and don't make any sudden gestures. We're going rather fast.
You haven't the nerve, of course.
Haven't I? Just try me.
All right, I will.
Don't touch that brake.
Hang on. Where are you?
Are you all right?
Quite all right, thank you.
You little fool, we might have been killed.
Hello there!
There's someone coming. Keep down.
Let go of me. Hello, hello!
Shut up!
Over here, Richard Hannay!
Why, you...
Richard!
Grab that man.
All right, Hannay, we've got you. And don't try any funny business. Stand up.
Yes, of course.
Are you the police?
We've been looking for you, Hannay. Put the bracelets on him, Joe.
Right you are. Put out your hand. There we are.
Now put out the other one on the girl.
Here, what are you doing?
We are handcuffing you to your friend here. Any objections?
Now see what you've done.
Oh, shut up. Listen, you can't do this. I don't even know this man.
You ride around the country with him in a car, but you don't know him. Of course you don't.
Yes, but I'm telling you,
Keep your mouth shut. All right, Joe. Take him to our car. It's a good day's work.
All right, that is part two. We'll have this in four parts, The 39 Steps, starring Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino, from December 13, 1937, is heard on the Lux Radio Theater. If you were driving in your car or listening to the radio and all of a sudden you said, that's a radio drama, it sounds like a classic radio drama, you were right, it is. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night playing classic radio shows for you, all your favorites, The Shadow and Jack Benny and Burns and Allen and The Whistler, Gunsmoke, Dragnet, Boston Blackie, Philip Marlowe. I can go on, Lisa.
It's okay. I'm listening. Keep going.
That's what we do here on the WGN Radio Theater, all of your favorite classic radio shows. And my co-host is the one and only Lisa Wolf.
We love playing exactly what you want to hear. We have a lot of people who have a lot of things to say, and we do like to hear from you. So you are welcome to text in at our call-in line, 312-981-7200, or go to our Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater, and like us and comment and post, and we'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, we'll play what you want to hear, so just make sure you go to Facebook and let us know. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right. Thank you, Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Carl Amari.
The best in the business, that Lisa Wolf.
I thought that was Shane Reardon, the best in the business.
Yeah, him too. Mike Costello too. That's my kind of...
You got a good team here, Carl. You know, what can I say?
We do.
We do.
And we have the best classic radio shows.
That is true.
After the news, we're going to tune into the conclusion in two parts of the Lux Radio Theater. You won't want to miss that. And then in our third hour, we're going to tune into Suspense, a tale well calculated to keep us in suspense, with Ida Lupino. That's what we're spotlighting. She was a terrific actress. She was the wife of Howard Duff, and she was a terrific director and producer. Yeah, she was very talented.
And we have some beautiful pictures of her up on our Facebook page, so you can attach the face to the voice if you check that out.
Very glamorous woman. Check that out at Facebook.
You trying to wake Carl up, Shane?
I was dozing a little while ago.
This'll do it.
You nosing, I was dozing. Right, Lisa?
Right, Carl.
It is 12:08 in the morning. Happy Monday morning to all of our listeners and to Lisa Wolf and to Mike Costello and Shane Reardon. That's my team here on the WGN Radio Theater. And we're tuning into Lux Radio Theater. We'll have that for you, part three of four parts, in a few moments. And then in our third hour, in the the 1 to 2 o'clock hour here, we'll tune into Suspense. We play a lot of Suspense.
Yes. Well, especially since the spotlighting. We've been doing Suspense for each
What I did when I started picking these out, like who we were going to spotlight, I looked at the Suspense radio log.
You mean when I gave you the list of who we were going to spotlight?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so I looked at all the Suspense actors, you know, Humphrey Bogart, Jimmy Stewart, all these great actors that appeared on Suspense. I thought that could be sort of the common denominator for all of these. Let's look at the actors that were on Suspense, and then we'd play two other shows from different series. And that's kind of how I laid it out, with your guidance and tutorialness, of course.
Sure.
Not sure if that's a word, but
we'll take it. If not,
I'll put it in the Webster Dictionary. Under my name. I should have my own dictionary, don't you think?
It's like the Urban Dictionary.
Right.
It's just the words we
Amari
all use.
Amari Dictionary.
Yeah, we're going to add Gunna to that dictionary,
Gunna.
Too.
Yeah, I'm going to do
it. I always tease you about that.
You know, today, it's so funny. Was it today, yesterday, I was at Trader Joe's.
Okay? That was yesterday.
Yeah, I was at Trader Joe's yesterday, and I was in the, I don't know what aisle I was in.
The apples.
The apple aisle. It could have been. How do you know? Were you watching me? Were you spying on me?
Because you bought me apples.
Yeah, I brought Lisa a granny Trader Joe's Granny Green Apples. And that is good. That's good. That's a good apple.
I ate it.
Right there. I had one too. But here, I digress. So I'm in the aisle, and my favorite song comes on, and I start like kind of, I was in a good mood. I was at Trader Joe's. I was, you know, I was in a good mood. And so the my song comes on, and the someone that works there said, oh, you're in a good mood, you know.
They obviously don't know you very well.
Yeah, and I said, yeah, I said, I am in a good mood, and I'm going to be in an even better mood.
I said,
excuse me, wait a minute. Let me take that. I'm going to retract that. Not gonna. I am going to be in an even better mood.
Yeah, so I just like to tease you a little bit.
Yeah, that's my tick. Another tick. We were talking about ticks yesterday.
Carl's got ticks coming kind out of his hair.
Yeah, radio tick. I'm gonna. Yeah, that's like slang.
I know. Everybody says it.
Does everybody say it?
I hear people on the radio, even at
this
station.
Does Shakespeare say it?
Say gonna. I'm
really?
I think I'm just a purist that way. I'm sorry, a little snotty.
I think it's
that
just,
way.
You know, I grew up in Chicago and I was like, you know, hey, you gonna come there? Yeah, I'm gonna agree. Yeah, gonna be there too.
Yeah, maybe it's the educator in me. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'll try to not say too much.
Sorry, I wasn't an English teacher. Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Lisa Wolf. All right, so in this hour, we're going to tune into part three of the 39 Steps on the Lux Radio Theater. All of this brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
Gambit is the third X-Men movie and stars this actor who possesses the powers of controlling kinetic and potential energy through touch.
The number to call, 312. Yeah, you'd like to be touched by this guy.
That's what I was saying. Exciting.
312-981. 312-981-7200. That's the number to call. And will you win a pizza?
A pizza, definitely. It's Lou Malnati's.
$25 gift card, Lou Malnati's. If you can guess this celebrity, here's a hint. He starred in Magic Mike.
Look, I've been saving for 6 years. I mean, why do you think I'm doing all these stupid businesses with... and stripping, it's just, I don't know.
I'm going to say a Carlism, and I'll say I'd date him.
Yeah, you would. You definitely. And so would about 99.8% of the rest of the
women. But he'd rather date me.
Out there. Yeah. I'm sure he would. All right, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
And we're back with Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip one more time.
Look, I've been saving for 6 years. I mean, why do you think I'm doing all these stupid businesses with... and stripping, it's just, I don't know.
You know, I'm glad I stopped that, too. I was trying to make extra money stripping.
Yeah, just too much,
you
too
know,
much time
it
invested.
Can't do this show and the stripping.
Yeah, you got to go with where the money is.
Right.
It's right here.
Exactly.
Hello.
Yeah. Let's talk to Todd from Manuka. Hi, Todd.
Hi.
How you doing?
Well, thank you.
Good, good, good. Would you like to win a pizza?
Yes, I would.
Good. Could you tell us who that celebrity is?
I think it's Channing Tatum.
You are right. And would you date him as well, or no. Should we just leave that up to me?
Well, I'll leave that up to you.
Todd, you're a winner. You've won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, my favorite deep dish pizza. You can check them out at loumalnati's.com and visit one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Thank you so much for calling, and we appreciate your listening to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Great show.
Great.
Thank you. All right. It's time for part three now of the 39 Steps, starring Ida Lupino and Robert Montgomery on the Lux Radio Theater.
Will you please move over?
You talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Very well.
Ow, my wrist.
Well, you asked me to move, and if I move, you move with me. It's a scientific fact that when two people are handcuffed together...
Officer, must I be chained to this man?
Aye, you must. And keep quiet about it.
Wait a moment. Where are you taking us? This isn't the way to the sheriff's office.
Well, we're not exactly going to the sheriff's office. Hey, Joe?
Not exactly, no.
Well, where are we going?
Well, it's the real head we're going to see. The sheriff principal. Hey, Joe?
Aye, the sheriff principal.
I don't understand.
Would you like to have a small bet with me, Pamela Stewart?
Now, what do you mean?
I'll bet you 100 to 1 that the man they call the sheriff principal has the top joint of his little finger missing. Am I right, gentlemen?
You shut your mouth, young fellow, or I'll shut it for you. For good.
You see, Pamela, I win. They're taking us to your old friend, the professor. Charming gentleman, the professor. Best-liked man in the village and a personal friend.
Oh, be quiet, will you?
What are we stopping for?
Sheep. A whole flock of them across the road.
Well, blow your horn. Maybe that'll scare them.
Stubborn beast. They won't move an inch.
Well, come on. We'll have to get out and shoo them off.
Here, get on there, shoo. Get on there.
Go on. Get you to the way. Go on.
Now's our chance. We'll make a run for it.
Run? How can we?
Come on. When I say jump, jump and run for your life.
Yes, but they'll catch us.
Go on, jump.
Hey, look, they're getting away.
Stand where you are.
There they go.
Give it to him.
They're shooting them.
Come on, you little fool. Run for it.
Please, don't go so fast. You're hurting my wrist.
Shut up.
Oh, I can't go any further. I've lost my shoe.
Where?
Oh, back there.
Well, forget it. All right. Sit down. Sit down for a while.
You think we've lost those men?
Well, it's as black as pitch on this moor. They'll never find us now.
You know, this is all very silly. You can't escape. What chance have you got handcuffed to me?
Keep that question for your husband when you get one. Meanwhile, I'll admit that you're the white man's burden.
Oh, yes, I know, and I can't tell you how it comforts me. Oh, why don't you give yourself up?
To whom?
Oh, give yourself up to Scotland Yard.
Thank you, but it's a little impractical at the moment. Listen to me. I told you the truth on the train, and I'm telling it to you now. There's a dangerous conspiracy against this country, and I'm the only man who can stop it.
Ha-ha, I don't believe you.
All right, very well, then. I'm just a plain, common murderer who stabbed an innocent, defenseless woman in the back in Portland Place, London. I don't know how innocent you may be. But you're a woman, you're defenseless, and you're alone on a desolate moor in the dark. And you're manacled to a murderer who would stop at nothing to get you off his hands. If that's the story you prefer, have it, my lovely, and welcome.
Well, I'm not afraid of you.
Why not? For all you know, I murdered a woman. You listen to a bit of advice. From now on, you do everything I tell you to do, and do it quickly.
Oh, you wretched boy.
I admire your pluck, but you keep a civil tongue in your head. Otherwise, I might feel the next killing was a bit overdue. All right, on your feet now.
Well, where are we going?
I see some lights over that way. We'll do a little investigating.
Well, I won't go. I'm going to stay right here.
Pamela, are you forgetting I murdered a woman? Well?
Don't you strike me. I'll go. Hey, what kind of a place do you think this is?
I don't know. Looks like an inn. I remember what I said. A civil tongue or else. And you back me up in everything I say or do. You understand?
Yeah.
Stay close to me and hold my hand. It'll hide the handcuffs. Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome to King's Head Tavern. And what can I do for you and the lady?
We had an accident with our car a few miles back.
Hey, that's too bad now. You want to stay the night, I suppose?
Yes, we do.
And will it be two separate rooms or one?
Oh, two separate rooms.
One room, please. One.
Well, which?
One, thank you.
Oh, one. And what's the name?
Hawkinson. Hawkinson, yes. Henry Hawkinson and Mrs. Hawkinson.
Well, come along, Mr. Hawkinson. The rooms are at the top of the landing.
Thank you. Nice place you have here.
It'll do. Here's the room.
Oh, thank you.
Well, good night to you.
Wait. Now, wait, please. You mustn't go.
What's the matter, lass? Is there anything wrong?
Yes,
of course
well,
there's nothing wrong. She wants to tell you something, that's all.
Yes, I want to...
Yes, we... You see, we're a runaway couple.
Ah, you know.
Yes. As a matter of fact, we've been running all night. If anyone inquires for us, you won't give us up, will you?
That I won't. I was young myself once. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Inside, Pamela.
Of all the outrageous things. Listen, you don't think I'm going to spend the night in this room with you.
Personally, I don't see how you can help yourself.
Stop jerking my arm.
I'm so sorry. I want to take my shoes off. My feet are tired. You'd better stand here by the fire and get warm. You'll be catching cold.
And if I did...
Stand by the fire.
Don't yell at me like that. I didn't ask to come with you.
And I didn't invite you. But here we are.
Well, aren't you afraid the men will find us?
I'm not thinking of that so much as some way to get out of these handcuffs.
Oh, I have a nail file in my pocket. Maybe that'll help.
That would be dandy. If you file 24 hours a day, 10 years from now, we might be free. Imagine, tied to you for 10 years. It's a horrible thought.
I've had enough of your insults. I'm going to tell the innkeeper the whole story.
You want me to hang for a murder I didn't commit?
As long as you hang, I don't care whether you committed it or not.
What a bloodthirsty creature you are. Haven't you any pity?
No.
Ow! What are you up to now?
I'm merely trying to file the handcuffs.
Well, don't jab me in the wrist that way. I don't like it.
I'm sorry.
You're going about it in a very amateurish fashion anyway. I can see you know nothing about filing handcuffs.
I'm sure you do. Tell me, how did you start being a criminal?
So you want the story of my life. It's really very interesting.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I was born a poor orphan boy. From the beginning, I hadn't a chance. Ouch!
I'm sorry it slipped.
Accidentally?
Accidentally. Go on, please.
I started by pilfering pennies out of other children's lockers at school. And a little pocket picking and car pinching. And at last, my efforts were rewarded, and I graduated into straight burglary.
With diploma?
With diploma.
Oh.
I killed my first man when I was 19. It scared me at first, but I soon got hardened to it. Lady, you wouldn't believe me if I told you.
It was your fault. The whole thing was your fault.
My fault? How do you make that out?
If you hadn't stopped the car for those blasted sheep, we'd have had the two of them in the professor's parlor right now.
We'd better have them there soon, is what I say. The professor was anxious about Hanny. Knows too much, he said. Get him.
Get him? We had him. And the girl, too.
You didn't suppose they'd head in somewhere, do you? Stop at a tavern, I mean.
They might, in this weather.
There's a place about 4 miles back. King's Head Tavern, it's called.
King's Head Tavern. That'd be somewhere near where they gave us the slip. Turn around. You'll find out.
Right.
And if we see him again, blast you. Shoot straight.
I will, all right. You can depend upon that.
And then little by little, and year by year, I sunk lower and lower.
And you got better and better.
That's right. You might have read about me in the papers. They called me Hannay, the Cornish Bluebeard. And that, me lady, is the horrible story of me life.
Dear, dear, and you have such a nice face. How many people have you killed altogether?
Nine. If you don't watch the point on that nail file, it may be 10. Ouch!
At least I'm trying to do something.
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to try and get some sleep. I haven't had a wink for 48 hours.
Well, I'm not in the least bit tired. Besides, I have to stay by the fire and get dry.
All right. You don't mind if I stretch out in the chair, do you?
No, not at all.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. I don't see how you can sleep at a time like this. I said I don't see how you can sleep at a time like this.
I'm hardened to it. That's all. Hardened criminal to sleep any time.
Listen. Listen, did you hear that? There's a car out there. It just drove up, a car.
It's your imagination.
It's not my imagination. I heard a car. Oh, all right, if you don't care.
Don't care. Just don't care.
Don't do that. What's the matter with you anyway?
Oh, I'm so sorry. You mustn't get frightened, Pamela. I have awful nightmares. I guess it's my conscience bothering me. Good night.
We pause for station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Morning. Richard Hannay stirs restlessly in the armchair and rubs his eyes sleepily. Suddenly, he jumps from the chair and stands in the middle of the room, staring down at the handcuffs which are dangling from his wrist. Pamela Stewart, on the other side of the room, smiles cheerily.
Good morning, Mr. Hawkinson. You're looking rather dazed this morning.
How did you get free?
Oh, very simple. A little matter of work while you had your nightmares.
I suppose you filed the handcuffs.
No, darling, I picked the lock. I was trying to do the same for you, but the file broke.
Say, what's wrong with you?
Oh, nothing that I know of. Oh, you mean my shoes. Yes, they're rather large, aren't they? I borrowed them from the innkeeper's wife.
No. It's not the shoes. Why are you being so nice? You don't feel ill or anything, do you?
No, why should I?
Why didn't you leave? You were very anxious, too, if I remember correctly.
Well, something happened last night that convinced me you've been telling the truth.
May I ask what earthquake caused your mind to work at last?
When I got free, I went downstairs. That car you said I imagined belonged to our pursuers. They were sitting downstairs when I got there.
Did they see you?
No, I hid behind the counter. They asked the innkeeper about us.
What did he say?
Said he hadn't seen us. Then they ordered something to eat. And while they were eating, they talked a lot about the 39 steps.
39 steps?
Oh, don't ask me what it means, because I don't know.
Anything else?
Well, they said the professor was clearing out of the country.
Then he has got the secret.
Did they say how soon he was leaving?
No, but they did say that he was going to London first to pick up someone at a music hall.
39 steps. London Music Hall. It doesn't make any sense. Which room are these men in?
Oh, they left.
When?
Oh, about 4 or 5 hours ago.
And you let them go after hearing what they said? Oh, you button-headed little idiot, you.
Don't you speak to me like that.
My dear girl, I'm accused of murder. The only way I can clear myself is to expose those spies.
Then why don't you go to Scotland Yard?
What's the use? You said yourself that no one would believe me.
Well, then why don't I go to Scotland Yard?
Why not? They'd listen to you.
Of course they would.
Come on, we'll get the next train for London.
Want to go to London?
I do.
Yeah. We'll go, we'll take the tour of the Scotland Yard, the Jack the Ripper. I want to do that tour. How
I'll
about
go.
You?
I'm on board.
Shane, you want to do that tour?
No, I'll pass. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Well, I'd like to do that tour.
You know, just take me to London.
All right. You got it. All right. We're back. It's the WGN Radio Theater. Thank you, Esmeralda. Thank you, Roger. It is... 12:37 in the morning on Monday morning. What are you going to do on a Monday? Sleep? You're
going
to sleep pretty late.
I like to sleep on Monday morning.
You get home around what? 3-something
about
in the
three.
Morning?
About
do you take
o'clock.
A shower?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I take a shower.
I got to take a shower
and then what?
Brush and floss.
Well,
I do the whole thing.
Of course you do.
You know.
And then head hits the bed, pillow maybe. I'm going to guess 4:15.
No,
four?
I'm in bed well before
oh,
that.
Oh, 4 o'clock?
No, by about 3:45.
How about you, Shane? What time are you in bed tonight?
Oh, I've got like a 15-minute ride on the Red Line to Lakeview. The podcast will be posted by like 2:30. I'll be walking out of here 3 a.m.
Yeah.
In bed by 4:15.
Okay, yeah. I'm about
yeah.
a 4.
After a shower. I do the shower thing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, me too. About 4. I take a shower once a week, whether I need it or not.
Right.
And so I would say 4 o'clock, 4:15, I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
But I'm up. 7:30, 8 o'clock. I don't know. I can't. It's just the weirdest thing. I cannot sleep past 7:30.
Yeah, no, I have no problem sleeping well past that.
Yeah.
What about you, Shane?
So I'm like a wreck on Monday.
What was the time?
He gets up about 7,
8 o'clock max.
Wow.
Yeah, both days. So I'm real tired on Sunday because I've only had 3-4 hours sleep.
Can't you just roll over and go back to bed?
I can't do it.
Yeah, I'm on my dog schedule. So
yeah.
Like,
yes, me
she
too.
Gets me up at that time and... every morning, and I can't fall asleep after that. So
yeah.
About
no.
that time, 8, 9 o'clock.
I'm sort of like a princess, I think. Just like to sleep a
little
bit on
Simba,
Monday mornings.
Little Simba cuddles up to you.
I just like to sleep late on Mondays.
Really?
So I allow myself that
and
luxury.
And I have the eye patch thing and everything. Because if light hits me, I'm up. So I wear this eye.
And I just close my eyes and turn over. You're high maintenance.
You close your eyes.
That's it. You close your eyes.
I have this really like foamy, nice, willowy.
I just turn over and go back to sleep.
And that doesn't even help. So,
No. I'm a good sleeper.
So on Mondays, I'm
that's why
absolute...
I'm perky, because I slept till 11:30, just
really?
Saying.
Yeah, you're perky. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a wreck on Mondays.
I can see that. It's already like, Monday, and you're already wrecking.
Completely. Remember when I fell on black ice?
I do.
Right? Years ago, Shane, I fell on black ice and hit my head really hard.
Yeah.
And
well, you can tell, right?
Yeah. I still have lingering...
I knew there was something wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah, I still have lingering effects of it. But for a while there, I was really out of it, wasn't
Didn't
I?
Didn't you get an MRI or something?
Yeah. Yeah,
and everything looked okay.
A TRO, an MRI, a JKL. I had it. You name it.
JKL, MNOP.
Had it all.
Did your hair color change after that, or was it something earlier?
No, I went prematurely gray very young. I was 20 something when I was.
Were
gray.
You really?
Yeah, 25.
Wow.
Started turning gray.
Well, you see, on a man, it's very distinguished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a woman, not.
I guess I wear it well.
I started at about 16. From this side, from the front right. I've got a big gray patch, and it's working its way back.
Yeah.
I don't see it from here.
No?
Maybe I'm too far away.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm not even in WGN, so maybe that's why I'm introducing off-site.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There's no gray hair here.
Oh, man. But remember when I fell on black ice and
I
was forgetting words and stuff like that?
Your emails were a little disjointed.
Yeah, my emails were all messed
like,
up.
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying.
I still
to
have
me.
Lingering effects of that, but that's how I seem on Mondays.
You know, listen, I'm afraid to pick on you because somebody texted in that I should stop picking on you.
That's
and I have
right.
to be honest, after all of the years we've worked together, about 80 some years we've worked together, that is the first time that anybody anybody has ever said that to me about picking on you, because it's usually the other way around. So I say one little thing and I bother you about the Gunnas and I get a little flack here.
Maybe it's
so
a family member of mine.
It must be somebody who loves you very much.
Right. Well,
so
that's right.
So just to clear things up, what Carl and I do. We like to just tease each other and poke at each other, but really, we do love each other and we are best friends.
Right.
So
we're clear about that. It's like...
it's just the way we are.
It's weird. I never had a girl who was my best friend ever in my life, you know? Like growing up, my best friends were always guys, but you're my best friend.
I always had guys' best friends.
Really?
Yeah. I'm good at that.
It's kind of cool having someone of the opposite sex as your best friend, because
we can learn from each other.
It's a very interesting perspective on things. Like,
yes.
She tells me stuff, and I'm like, really?
Yes.
Yeah, it's cool.
True.
So I appreciate you, Lisa.
I appreciate you, too.
All right,
too.
So I appreciate if we get back to this Lux Radio Theater. Here's the conclusion now of the 39 steps on the Lux Radio Theater.
You wish to order now, sir?
No, thank you. I'm waiting for someone.
I beg your pardon, sir. Your face looks familiar. Are you in the cinema?
No, I'm not. Bring me a bottle of ale, will you?
Very good, sir.
Oh, make that two, please.
Yes, miss.
Pamela, sit down.
Did you think I was never coming?
Not exactly, but I was getting nervous waiting. Well, what happened? Did you go to Scotland Yard?
Yes.
Well?
Prepare yourself for a shock.
Why?
They've checked every possible channel. The Air Ministry are positive that no papers are missing that would be of any possible use to spies.
But that's incredible. Are you sure?
Well, that's exactly what they said.
I don't know what to make of it.
I think you've been tricked.
Well, certainly is all very bewildering.
Oh, I'm sorry, Richard. Really, I am. Look, I think you better go now.
Go where?
Oh, any place. Leave the country. I'll help you.
You?
Oh, I know it sounds funny, but somehow I couldn't bear the thought of them catching you again.
Why, Pamela?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I've just changed my mind about you, that's all. Of course, you're as vain as a peacock, and I couldn't stand you for any length of time, but you're not so bad.
Well, you're not so bad either. If I weren't in this jam, I'd...
What?
Nothing. Come on, let's get out of here.
No, you better stay. I'll run and get you a ticket for Liverpool. There ought to be a boat train
Pamela.
Soon. Well, what's the matter? What are you staring at?
Look out the window. You see that billboard across the street?
Yes. Is there anything strange about it?
A list of acts playing this week at the Palladium. The feature attraction is Mr. Memory.
But I don't understand.
Come on, we're going to get out of here.
Well, where are we going
now? To the Palladium.
But why?
I don't know, but we're going just the same.
Here are your seats, sir. First two on the aisle.
Thank you. Sit down, Pamela.
This is silly. In the first place, the show's almost over. If anyone sees you here, what are you looking for?
Be quiet. I'm just playing a hunch, that's all.
Well, you're playing a fool if you ask me.
Ladies and gentlemen, with your kind permission and attention, I now have the honor to present to you one of the most remarkable men in the world. I present Mr. Memory.
Pamela.
What?
Look at that right-hand box nearest the stage. You see that small man sitting in front?
Why, yes, it's
the professor himself.
You better get out of here before they see you.
No, sit down, listen.
Every day he commits to memory 50 new facts, and he remembers every one of them. Facts from history, from geography, from newspapers, from scientific textbooks.
Pamela. Yes. I've got it.
What?
Don't you see the details of this Air Ministry secret have been borrowed, memorized by Mr. Memory, and then put back again before anyone could know?
Why, that's it. Of course it is.
Pardon me, sir, but there's a gentleman who would like to speak to you.
Who, me?
You, Richard Hannay.
Well, I...
You're under arrest.
Wait, officer.
Weston.
Listen, there's something here you ought to know.
That'll keep, Hannay. Come along quietly.
Yes, but you must listen to him. That man on the stage, please.
Come on, we don't want any excitement here.
All right, I'll go quietly.
Richard, you're not.
Distant from Montreal, 1,400.
What's the use?
24 miles, am I right? Thank you. Question, please. Do not hesitate. Your question, please.
Wait a minute. Mr. Memory, what are the 39 steps? Come on, answer up. What are the 39 steps?
The 39 steps. The 39 steps is a secret organization aided by Professor...
Moonsby,
sir! There's your man up there in the box. He's the one who shot him.
Stop that man!
Stop that man! Stop him! Stop him!
I want to see Mr. Memory, please. Where's his dressing room?
Number 5, but you can't go in now.
Well, I'm afraid we have to. Detective, have you a pencil and a piece of paper?
Yes.
I want you to write down everything you hear.
But listen here, I
do as he tells you, please.
I'm going to prove to you that the man who shot Memory is the murderer of Annabella Smith.
What is it?
We want to see Mr. Memory. How is he, Doctor?
Very bad. Did they get the man who shot him?
Yeah, we got him all right. He'll hang for it, too.
Oh. Mr. Memory. Mr. Memory, can you hear me?
Yes.
Mr. Memory, there's something I'd like you to tell us, please.
Yes.
What was the secret formula you were taking abroad?
Will it be all right, my telling you? It was a big job learning it. The biggest I've ever tackled. I don't want to throw it away, sir.
It will be quite all right.
The first feature of the new engine is its greatly increased ratio of compression, represented by the formula 1 - 1/r to the power of gamma -1, where r represents the ratio of compression and gamma dimensions of cylinders. Diameter. This device renders the engine completely silent. The exhaust gases impinging on a series, entirely eliminating all sound. Am I right? Am I right, sir?
That's quite right, old chap.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad it's off my mind. At last.
Memory. Mr. Memory.
Richard, what is it?
The Air Ministry's secret will never leave England.
This way, please. We can pick up the police car on the corner.
The police car? Where are you taking us?
The Scotland Yard, of course.
Scotland Yard.
Yes, but you can't do that. You heard what that man said. He didn't kill anybody.
Easy now, easy. He'll be all right. All we want is to put the story on the record.
Oh.
Oh, that's better.
You've nothing to worry about at all. He'll be a free man in an hour, Mrs. Hannay.
Hannay? Well, what are you talking about?
Well, I... Oh.
Mrs. Hannay.
I'm sorry. I thought...
That would be just fine, that would. We were together for one day, and we fought for 24 hours.
20? You were asleep 4 hours.
Can you imagine what it would be like? Fight for breakfast, fight for lunch, fight for dinner. One long, drawn-out battle for the next 30 or 40 years.
Oh, 30 or 40 years. Do you think we could keep it up that long? I mean, really.
Well, we could try.
Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino have completed the 39 steps, but they'll take a 40th when they return later to the microphone. First, a word from Melville Ruick.
Thank you, Mr. DeMille. Just a moment for a suggestion to the women who begin when winter comes to be bothered by rough, chapped hands. Perhaps they don't realize that the trouble may start in the simple daily task of washing the dishes. Here's the reason. There are oils in your skin which give it a protective coating against cold weather outdoors and steam heat indoors. If you use a strong soap in the dishpan, these oils are dried up. Your skin gets rough and red. To protect these beauty oils, simply change from your harsh soap to Lux Flakes. Women find the difference between Lux and ordinary soaps for dishes almost unbelievable. They feel it the moment they put their hands in the dishpan. There is no sting in the very gentle, soothing Lux suds. Almost at once, your hands will begin to look smoother and whiter. Begin tomorrow to keep your hands lovely by washing dishes with Lux Flakes. I turn you back now to Mr. DeMille.
At the moment, both our stars, Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino, are having a breathing spell between pictures. Bob is back after 6 weeks in the East, a And Ida's been indulging in her favorite avocation, composing music.
And not just simple little ballads, Mr. DeMille, but the real thing. Not so long ago, the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra played Ida's symphony, Aladdin and the Lamp.
Oh, thanks for the nice boost, Bob. You know, composing's really very exciting, although I had no thought of attempting it until 2 years ago. It was just about this time of year. I was riding in a taxicab down Hollywood Boulevard. The street was crowded with Christmas traffic, when all of a sudden the noise seemed to take the form and tempo of a melody. Well, I rushed right home, worked straight through till morning, and there it was, and I've been at it ever since.
What's your latest composition?
Something I've just sent to London, the score and book for a musical comedy. Look, I hope no one's going to get the impression that I think I'm a great musician. In fact, I know so little that I often use a code to take the place of notes and musical symbols until I've time to figure out what I'm trying to do. I use the letters of the alphabet for a code. If you ever saw one of my scores, you'd think someone had spilled alphabet soup on an orchestration sheet. But I think our listeners are a lot more interested in what Bob's next picture is going to be than in my music. So, Bob, suppose you tell them.
Well, if I knew, I'd be glad to. I'm having story difficulties at the moment.
Don't we all? Can't you find the right one?
Well, the trouble is, I've found the right two. And MGM and I can't make up our minds which will make the better picture. Number one is a light comedy, the type of story that audiences have been favoring so much lately. Plenty of laughs and sophistication. Number two, also a modern story, presents a definite problem of living that any one of us might have to face. A very interesting story for an actor. But the question is, will it interest an audience?
And in the meantime, you're first shot offense, eh?
Exactly. And since that's not a very comfortable spot to be in, perhaps the Lux Radio Theater audience will help me out. I'd really be very grateful if you'd drop a card or a note to Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, to me, or the Lux Radio Theater, and let us know which of these two types of pictures you'd prefer to see. A light comedy or a story with a social problem. In the meantime, my thanks and good night.
Good night, Mr. DeMille.
Good night, Ida. Good night, Bob. Thank you, Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your announcer, Melville Ruick. Mr. DeMille returns in just a moment with news of next week's play and stars. In our cast tonight were Leonard Mudy as Professor Bartlett, Reginald Sheffield, Herbert Evans, and Keith Kenneth as detectives, Lionel Belmore as innkeeper, Vernon Steele as cart driver, Edgar Norton as manager of the music hall, Eric Wilton and Raymond Lawrence as Cockney travelers, Ward Lane as butler, Eric Snowden and Norman Ainsley as Scotchman, Sybil Harris as a rowdy, and Phyllis Coughlin as a woman. Louis Silvers appeared through courtesy of 20th Century Fox Studios, where he was in charge of music for the new picture, Love and Hisses. And now, our producer. One of the most glamorous beauties of the screen that the screen has ever known appears in the Lux Radio Theater next Monday night. Marlena Dietrich. Our play is taken from the highly successful motion picture in which Miss Dietrich starred, The Song of Songs, the love story of a Viennese girl and the three men who tried to win her. Miss Dietrich will be surrounded by an all-star cast headed by Douglas Fairbanks, Jr., with Lionel Atwill.
There you have the Lux Radio Theater. From December 13th, 1937, The 39 Steps, starring Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino. And I hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Oh, this is like a detective music. This is like Hawaii Five-0 almost kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it does sound like that.
You know, Matt Helm or something like that. I like this kind of music. This is cool. What is this?
This is Lettuce again.
Oh, Lettuce. Yeah. I like that.
Song called Slipping Into Darkness.
There. I got it. Can you burn me a CD of this, buddy?
Do you have an 8-track player?
I have not only do I have an 8-track player, I have a reel-to-reel deck, and I have a, what do you call it? I have a wire recorder.
Okay. All right, I'll find a way to do one of those.
Yeah, 8-track would be just fine. That's a little too high-tech for me, though. In my 71 Camaro, I do have, and my Opel, and my 71 Opel, I have an 8-track player. That's what I drive.
I've got one on my Yugo.
Yeah. Remember those cars, the Yugos?
Yeah, I had a Pacer.
Did you?
I did.
A Pacer?
It was a silver Pacer. Yeah, that
wow,
was my first
car. Like a silver
car.
Bullet.
I bought it myself. It was $1,500.
What was your first job? What was the first paying job for Lisa Wolf?
I worked at Wendy's.
Did you?
For
You were a fast food girl?
Well, I worked there for 2 days.
2 days?
Mm-hmm.
You worked there 2 days?
The second day
okay, so let me ask,
didn't work
did you
out
quit
for me.
Or did they fire you?
You want the truth?
Yes,
this
I always want
this is a little uncomfortable right
I,
now.
I always want the truth.
Okay, I actually, the grease...
You were combing
you know, I
your
hate
hair?
To, no, I hate to say anything bad against... It wasn't anything personal, but the grease kind of was starting to get to me, and I got a little queasy.
Yeah.
And I threw up right there.
Boy, really?
Right there in the back there at Wendy's. Yeah. Yeah, it just didn't seem like the right job for me.
And then you went home and you went, Dad, I don't want to work there.
No, I got another job. I just thought it went...
all right, so Wendy's...
Not best with food.
2 days at Wendy's?
Yeah, well, kind of 1.5,
I'd say.
Shane,
what was your first paying job? Oh, wait, hang on. I'm not hearing you. Where are you?
You hear me?
Yep.
Gobert's Pumpkin Farm?
Oh, Gobert's. I love Gobert's.
Is that Barrington?
That's right by my house.
Is it really?
I live right
like
behind Gobert's.
Like Anapticusick? Oh, no, that one's west. Where's that one?
No.
Where's
it's Gobert's? The one with the giant, silo, the pumpkin silo.
It's I'm right off of Mundhank.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, very cool.
Yeah.
Wow. I probably saw you there.
You probably did. I looked exactly the same. A bigger beard, actually, at age 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely illegal child labor laws, but... They put me to work where they could.
And how old were you at the time?
12, I think. 12 or 13. Yeah.
12 or 13.
I looked old. I looked a fresh 27 back then.
I think my first paying job was in a factory. Like, it was, yeah.
Like where you make Nike clothes?
No.
Like I Love Lucy with the chocolates?
I mean, the first paying job that I can remember, I delivered pizzas.
Right.
And I was like 16.
That's a good job for a young boy.
I delivered pizzas for like two years, I think, and met a lot of...
I was just going to say, you meet some girls along the way?
Met a lot of people.
A lot of people, just girls and
you know, made
girls.
A lot of friends as a pizza deliverer.
Girls, more girls.
You know, and that was...
Make some big tips there.
And I think when I retire someday... Maybe 20, 30 years from now, I'm going to write a book about my 2 years delivering pizzas. What do you think, Shane? Would you want to read that book?
No, I would not, Carl.
Not want to read that book.
I'm with Shane. Just
there are some
in case
pretty interesting. I had some good stories.
I bet.
You know, I mean,
some stories are meant to be kept to yourself.
Yeah, it was an interesting time, you know, in my life.
Yeah.
16, 17. And then, but I think I worked prior to that, you know, when I was not of age to work.
I used to work for my dad, for his company, when I was younger than that. He paid me better than Wendy's did.
I'm sure
so that
he
worked
did.
Out better for me.
And then you were able to buy your yellow telephone with the long cord and your shag carpeting.
I didn't have to pay for that.
Right.
Part.
I'm sure you didn't. All right. So we're reminiscing a little bit about the childhood.
The good old days.
Yeah. It is 1:08 in the morning, Monday morning. Happy Monday, everybody. We're listening to Classic Radio, as we always do on Saturday and Sunday nights till 2 o'clock in the morning. Lisa and I and Shane are here playing your favorite Classic Radio shows. We have a spotlight on Ida Lupino on this edition 80. This is program 80 of the WGN Radio Theater. Ida Lupino, terrific actress, very pretty girl.
Oh,
I mean, go
beautiful.
On, just go on our Facebook page at WGN Radio Theater and see two glamour shots of her. That was one very attractive woman, and she was a very talented woman too, as you're going to hear on an episode of Suspense in this hour, good mystery series. You'll hear Ida Lupino, but all of this brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
This actor stars in the mystery thriller Inferno as a man who wakes up with no memory and suddenly finds himself the target of a manhunt.
Okay. If you know the answer, call us at 312-981-7200. You'll win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza. And here's a hint. You can hear him starring in 1993's Philadelphia.
Excuse me. Am I being fired?
That's why I asked you what your first job was. Am I being fired? That's what Lisa said. Just because I threw up in the fries.
In the fries.
Just because I threw up all over the hamburgers.
Right. What? No
you're
big
fire
deal, right?
Me?
Oh, that's a story that still hurts.
Gets you
me.
Right there.
Yeah.
All right. 312-981-7200. Identify that actor. Win a Lou Malnati's Pizza. If you get on the air here, call us now. We'll find our winner after this break.
We're back and we're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip again.
Excuse me. Am I being fired?
And let's talk to Joanne from Lansing. Hi, Joanne.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
We're having a little fun here on the air as you're hearing.
Let me ask Joanne a question. Joanne, would you want to read that book if I wrote a book about my 2 years delivering pizzas?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, thank you,
Joanne. Our listeners are much nicer
than Joanne. I'm going to send you an autographed copy if I ever write that book. Okay?
I would love it.
All right.
Well, at least somebody's going to read
she'll,
it. Anyway.
She'll eat a pizza and read the book.
That sounds good.
There you go.
We'd love to give you a Lou Malnati's pizza on us if you can tell me who that voice is.
Sure, that is Tom Hanks.
You are right, Joanne. We're so happy to give you a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's Home of the Best Deep Dish and my personal favorite. And you can check them out online at loumalnati's.com or visit one of their 40-plus locations. We hope that you have a great pizza, and we really do appreciate your listening to the show.
Well, I'll do that, and I enjoy your two shows on the weekend. I really enjoy them.
Oh, thank you so much.
You stay up and listen to all six
hours? Don't fall asleep on us yet.
Listen to the whole show, I hope?
I do. I really do. It gets me into bed at a decent hour, and I'll listen for all the hours, and I really enjoy that.
So do you, like, you get into bed and listen to the show, and you kind of... you nod off and listening to these great radio shows. That's fun. That's what my mom does, and a lot of people I know do that.
You do that and while we're here.
Yeah, and if you miss any part of the show, you can always listen the next day on the podcast that Shane puts up, right?
You can, definitely.
All right, Joanne. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Bye, Joanne.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thank you.
All righty. Enjoy that pizza. So, Lisa, we are going to tune into Suspense in just a few minutes, but before we do, I want to remind our listeners that we also have a website for this show. Our website is WGNRadioTheater.com, and at that website, there's thousands of pictures of Lisa, and then there's our schedule. We have a schedule of all the shows we're going to air here on the WGN Radio Theater on Saturdays and Sundays, and when you click through, you can click through to our main website. Our main company website has a download 10 free shows button. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you click that, you're going to get unlocked to your listening device 10 of the best classic radio shows of all time, including an episode of Abbott and Costello with the Who's on First, Suspense, Gunsmoke, Dragnet, Jack Benny, shows like that. So, you know, take advantage of that. That's a thank you for listening to the program.
Right? I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. What did you say?
Lisa was off in La La Land.
I got Carl a hot chocolate, and he woke up a little bit, and now he's very talkative tonight.
I tell you, man, that hot chocolate did the trick.
Gave you a little jolt there.
I'm like, I'm kind of all hopped up now.
Yes, I've noticed that.
Second wind, as they say.
That's right.
All right, so we have listened over the last few weeks to a lot of suspense, and people love suspense. People are always like, oh, yeah, we love suspense. Keep it a-coming. So we have a suspense episode for you now. This is a great mystery series. It was actually, Lisa, conceived as a potential radio vehicle for Alfred Hitchcock to direct. They were like, oh, let's, you know, CBS was like, let's come up with something where we could try to tie Alfred Hitchcock into our station, you know, into our network. They said, let's create a mystery series, talk to Alfred. And he said,
what did Al say?
He said, oh, really?
Perfect. Yeah. That's good.
He said, I don't want to direct that. But then this was in 1940, 1941. He'd never ended up directing Suspense, but it came to radio in 1942, and it lasted until the year before I was born, 1962. So it lasted 20 seasons on the radio. And it was billed as radio's outstanding theater of thrills because it had not only suspenseful thrillers, but the biggest names in Hollywood on every broadcast, as we've been demonstrating here. And nearly 1,000 radio shows Suspense produced. 1,000. That's crazy.
That's incredible.
Then it moved to television in 1949. TV show, not that great. The TV show was just okay. You know, the radio show is where it really flourished, and that's why we play these shows. Now, we have a 1949 episode of Suspense from December 29th. It stars Ida Lupino, and it's called The Bullet. Also in the cast, Elliot Lewis and some other great radio voices, Hans Conried, William Conrad, John Daner, and Paul Frees does the announcing on this, as heard on CBS, sponsored by Autolite. Here's part one now of a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Autolite and its 96,000 dealers present Miss Ida Lupino in The Bullet, a suspense play produced and edited by William Spear. And now with The Bullet and the performance of our star, Miss Ida Lupino as Ruth Martin, with Elliot Lewis as her husband, Harry, Autolite hopes once again to keep you in suspense.
Ruth? Turn around, Ruth.
No.
Turn around, Ruth. I've got the gun in my hand.
Please, Harry. Please.
I'm pressing the trigger. Will it be this time?
Harry, don't. Don't do this to me.
Will it be this time, Ruth? Will it be this time?
Yes, Harry. Yes, this time. This time I'd die, and it was like drowning. Going down for the last time. Everything flooding through my mind. How step by step we'd come to this point. Neither one of us wanting to. From the day Harry came back from prison, meeting me in the station. Pale, haggard, in a suit two sizes too big, nothing left but his stupid pride. And me. Well, I suppose I was quite a shock to Harry. He looked at me so strangely all the way as we walked back to the parking lot for the car.
What'd you do to yourself? You're so changed.
For the better, I hope.
Just changed.
Now, is that being gallant?
Gallant?
When I came out of the kitchen to take over the business, Harry, while you were away, I had to change from my apron.
Had to dye your hair, too. Had to become a real glamour girl, huh? And that dress, is that one of ours? How's the business going? You hardly mentioned it in your letters. Holding its own?
Better than that. Just about tripled our volume since you went away. Well, here we are.
What?
The car. Here's the car.
This chromium wonder?
Sure, it's yours. Here's the key. Go on. We can afford it.
Little lady really took over. Where's the starter?
Right there. Oh, Harry, somebody had to take over when you went away. After all, dress styles are changing all the time. Don't have a chip on your shoulder.
Well, another thing, what's this when you went away routine? Like maybe I went to China. I took a chance at my business and I lost, so they dumped me into the hoosegow for 3 years. I'm not ashamed of it, so don't you...
You're going the wrong way, Harry.
Well, I guess I know the way to my own house.
But we live in a new house. Something really special.
What goes on here?
What's wrong with you? I did the best I could to keep things going. There's nothing to be jealous of.
Jealous?
Oh, Harry, why are we fighting?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got nothing to fight about. I'm back in the business, and you can go back to taking care of the house. Cooking?
No, I...
Keeping things looking nice?
No, Harry, I...
Letting your hair get back to the color it used to be.
I can't do it.
Well, we'll see, baby.
Look, I don't want to be the boss.
Thanks.
But I can be of help to you.
Sure. Have a nice hot dinner waiting for me when I come home from work.
We can afford a cook for that now.
Cook? You're all the cook we need.
Harry, I'm not the same anymore. I just can't sit home and wait for you to come and tell me what the world's all about.
Then you're going to have to learn, baby. You're just going to have to learn.
But nothing worked out the way Harry planned it. He found he couldn't keep me home. He put me in a corner in the office. Set out to prove he didn't need me at all. Only 3 years is a long time to be away from anything. We're new buyers. The buyers didn't know him. They knew me.
No, this is not what I wanted, Mr. Martin.
Well, I'll show you something else. Got plenty of time.
I can't really say that I have. Didn't I see Mrs. Martin in your office when I came in today?
Well, she's just getting things in order before she retires back to the kitchen.
She always knows exactly what I want. Could you send for her, please?
But I'm sure I can show
you... Would you mind?
No. No, I wouldn't mind.
One blow after another at his stupid pride. Most of the workers had never known Harry. They were used to taking their orders from me. But he had to show them he was still the big shot.
Stop that machine.
Huh? Oh, yes, sir.
I want these coats cut with a flare, 3 inches longer.
Oh, but Mrs. Martin
worked
it all out.
Don't tell me what Mrs. Martin worked out. That sign out on the front window says Harry Martin.
Oh, yes, sir, but...
But nothing. Cut it the way I told you.
But these new machines Mrs. Martin installed, they don't operate like that.
What?
That's why we changed over.
I see.
So, shall I do it like Mrs. Martin said, sir?
Yeah, just like Mrs. Martin said.
It got so we were like two strangers. Harry wouldn't even look at me anymore. I think he actually began to hate me. And then the final thing. He began finding out about George. Oh, listen, I'm no angel, but 3 years. I'm not trying to defend myself. It's just that it's terrible to be lonely. And George came along and treated me like I was somebody to respect, somebody with dignity. Well, then I began to realize that when I took the car someplace, Harry's car would bob up behind me, follow for a few blocks, then disappear. I'd be shopping in a store. Suddenly, Harry's face would begin to weave in and out of the crowd, then disappear. Or coming into the office one day and finding Harry had put an extension on my phone. I was being stifled. I couldn't breathe anymore. I didn't dare see George anymore. I hardly dared phone him. So it's like prohibition of any kind. It began to be important. George had never really meant very much to me. But now I started thinking he was the only thing I had to hang on to. And Harry, always playing little jokes, setting his little traps. Like the morning he left for the office early. Some business to take care of. And hearing his car back out of the garage, move down the street, thinking I was free for a few minutes. Free to call George after all these days.
Hello?
George?
Ruth, darling, where have you been? Why haven't I heard from you?
Oh, George, I wanted to call...
George who? George who? What's the full name, baby?
I heard you leave.
Had the gardener take the car to the gas station. Dial George again, baby. Finish the conversation.
Listen, you're driving me crazy with these tricks. What's wrong with you?
Here's the phone. Dial him again.
Dial who?
Who are you talking to?
The Beaver Knitting Mill. George Baker. He's one of their salesmen.
Why did you hang up so quick?
You startled me. What are you doing?
Of course, 3 years is a long time. But 3 years ago, the Beaver Knitting Mill never opened before 9.
Harry,
you must have dialed wrong, baby. There's no answer.
Sneaking around behind my back, spying on me, checking on my phone calls. Harry, I'm not going on this way. I'm not going to let you drive me crazy.
What do you think you're going to do about it?
I want a divorce.
You mean that?
Yes.
He must be quite a guy.
Listen to
me. No. You listen, lady. Okay, it's a deal. You'll get your divorce, but on my terms, lady. All the way down the line.
What kind of terms?
I know all about the laws in the state, 50-50 on everything. But it's not going to be that way with us. You give me a release, giving me the whole business, and you're free as the air.
Give you the business? But I built the business. There was nothing left when you went to prison.
That's my deal, kiddo.
My whole life is tied up with that business. I worked.
That's the deal.
Why are you doing it, Harry?
Because whoever this bum is...
There's no one.
Whoever he is. I got a hunch when he hears you're not bringing half the business as a dowry, his great love is just going to shrivel up and die.
That's what you believe, is it?
Exactly.
All right, Harry. You draw up the papers.
Ruth, I just don't know what to say.
But to be free, free to be with you, darling.
Oh, what kind of freedom is it when you have to grub for a buck? That kind of freedom you can feed to the pigeons.
George, don't talk like that.
We're not a couple of 19-year-old kids running off on a motorcycle. If you give up your business, how are we supposed to live?
That's the only way he'll let me go.
Then don't go.
He was right. What he said about you was right.
If he said I didn't care for you very, very much, then he was wrong. But if he said I like it nice with enough money coming in to make it comfy, and how he was right.
Shut up!
What was that for? Because I'm honest with you? Aren't you even going to say goodbye?
You know, I can't say goodbye. Not now. I can't be alone. I've got to have somebody.
Well, it isn't me, baby. Never was. Oh, baby.
Will I see you tonight?
No,
Will you call me? I feel lost. I'll be at the office tonight. I'll be there alone waiting for your call. George, will you call me?
All right, Ruth. Be there at 10. I'll call you.
You know what that is right there, talking with Ida Lupino? That's William Conrad. He was U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon on Gunsmoke on radio, but of course on television, you remember him as Cannon. Remember Cannon?
I sure do. I mean, that was Cannon.
I'm trying to think. That was probably the 70s. Cannon? It had to be 70s, early 70s. And then he was also Nero Wolf, your uncle. Nero Wolf on television for a while.
He's a good uncle.
You know, I think I mentioned this before years ago. I'm not sure where I read this or whatever, but I guess William Conrad was very close friends with the, Jack Warner at Warner Brothers. They were like buddy buddies. They golfed together and things like that. And I guess William Conrad was a big fan of the Maltese Falcon movie, you know, with Humphrey Bogart.
Sure.
And so Jack Warner had the actual Maltese Falcon statue in his office. And he said I can't quote this from anyone telling me this, but I read this. And so William Conrad said to Jack Warner, boy, you know, I love that movie, and man, I would love to have something like that. And Jack Warner just said, take it. Go ahead, take it, you know, Jack Warner, right? So years later, after William Conrad had passed away, so we're talking maybe 15, 20 years ago, his wife, his widow, auctioned it at like Sotheby's or Christie's auction.
Yeah, there was some article that we read about this. We talked about that.
And it went for like $500,000 or something. It's like,
and I wonder how difficult it would be to prove that that was the actual Maltese Falcon.
No, it was absolutely, absolutely justified
authentic.
That it was, authenticated that it was the Maltese Falcon. The one that was used in the movie with Humphrey Bogart, Mary Astor, and Peter Lorre. And it was owned for years and years by William Conrad, given to him by, I believe, Jack Warner at Warner Brothers, because that was a Warner Brothers movie. 1941, that movie came out. I have it on Betamax or something somewhere in my library. It's a great film. What a great detective movie that is. Dashiell Hammett created. And then Dashiell Hammett created three shows for radio. Did you know that? Sam Spade. Well, I mean, they were based on his characters. Sam Spade, The Fat Man, which was another Dashiell Hammett creation,
and the Thin Man.
Hey, very good, Lisa Wolf.
Hey, Carl.
Nice job, Lisa. All right, so when we come back from the news, we're going to tune into the conclusion to this tale well calculated to keep us in suspense. It's called The Bullet with Ida Lupino. And a few other fun stuff, some other fun things we're going to do. All right. Yes, indeedy. WGN Radio Theater. I still have to pinch myself, though, that we have a radio show on WGN.
Yeah, I like to pinch you, too.
I grew up listening to this station. I mean, this was the station I tuned in as a kid, of course, listening to sports on the station and all the great talent, amazing talent. My favorite person on WGN for many years was Eddie Schwartz. I used to listen to Eddie Schwartz at night because I'm kind of a late night radio guy. Listening, you know, as a listener, as someone listening to radio, I was tuned into WGN at night. Of course, I'm a huge fan of Nick DiGilio. And so many other people on this station. I listen to the station all the time now. But growing up, I listened to this station. And Lisa, we have a radio show on WGN.
We did talk about this for many years prior to being here, that this was the be-all, end-all for us.
I am completely and totally blown out of my mind that I have the opportunity to have a show on this station and to play the show. I mean, it's like a double great thing because I love these shows and I love the station. And then we get to do the show together. So it's like triply good.
All right, I'll take it.
It's like triple good. And Shane Reardon is our producer on top of it.
I thought you were just going to not say anything about me at all when I'm the sunshine.
You know what?
Life.
You are the icing.
You're
the icing on the cake.
There should be like a song like that. Like, you are the sunshine of my
life.
No, I don't think there's a song like
that. Let's write one.
No.
Something like, let's write something.
That's right.
It'll win a Grammy. Guarantee it. Yeah, Shane is like chocolate ice cream. Chocolate frosting on my chocolate cake, because I like chocolate cake. That's it. I don't like anything else. Chocolate cake with strawberries and whipped cream inside.
And once you add the fruit, you just ruin the whole thing.
Birthday's August 20th, Shane. So if you come August, you want to get me a cake, that's what I like.
Okay, if you skip the strawberries, I'll be okay.
You're giving me plenty of time to think about it.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, so let's get back to this now. Good mystery on suspense. This is called The Bullet, and it stars Ida Lupino. Let's go back to December 29th, 1949. For suspense.
He wasn't that important to me. I wanted affection and love from somebody so much. George would be calling at the office at 10 o'clock. It seemed that's all there was for me. I walked. I sat in the park. I waited. A telephone call from George. When I got to the building, I looked up at our windows. Dark. Not a light on the whole floor. When I got to the outer door of the office, I stopped and listened. Not a sound. I went inside. Found the light switch.
Oh, I've been waiting for you, Ruth. Where have you been?
Harry, why were you waiting here in the dark?
I tried to take a snooze, just stretched out here for a minute. I haven't been sleeping much lately.
Yes, I know.
You neither have been.
No, not much.
I have the paper. I left it here on your desk.
Paper?
Yeah, it's all very legal. You relinquish all claims to the business, then I bow out of your life.
No.
These lawyers, they can find word. What'd you say?
I've changed my mind. I'm not going to sign it.
It's the only way I'll give you a divorce.
Then we'll just have to forget about the divorce.
I want you to sign this paper, Ruth.
I won't, Harry. And I don't want to argue about it.
Wait.
Yes?
I know who he is, baby.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about George Groves.
Groves? George Groves?
You've been giving him money.
That's a lie.
I found this deposit slip weeks ago in your writing made out to his bank account, $300.
Lies!
And this deposit slip, $200. And this one, $250. Who is he? You're not getting out of here until you tell me who he is.
Harry, I wanted to tell you, but I just couldn't.
Who is he?
He's a gambler.
Gambler? Who are you kidding?
You asked me? I told you. Now I'm going.
Wait, that doesn't make sense. You never gambled?
Well, I was like a lost dog. Nothing to do, no one to turn to. I lost that money and quite a bit more.
Ruth, if that were true...
It is true.
There isn't any other man.
There never was. 10 o'clock.
George Groves, a gambler. Here, you shouldn't keep these things lying around, baby.
I've got to go, Harry.
To Ruth. Since I got off that train a month ago, I've been acting like I don't know what. You think we've got any chance to start all over again? Right from the beginning, baby?
I don't know, Harry. I can't think straight. Let's go someplace. Let's not talk about it here.
No, you're right. Here's where all the trouble started. Let's get out in the air.
Yes, come on.
Sure. A gambler. I bet he really took you to the cleaners. Well, you know something? I'm not sore at him. Not a bit. Oh, wait. Let me turn out the light.
Well, hurry.
Okay. Now let's get... your phone.
I don't understand.
Who'll be calling at this hour?
Nobody. Must be a wrong number. Come on.
Well, what do you mean, come on? At least answer it. Oh, never mind. I'll take it.
No, I...
What?
Well, it's on my line.
Then you answer it.
Why are you going to your extension?
Answer the phone, Ruth.
You're starting it all over again.
I said answer the phone. Answer the phone. Ruth, answer the phone. You almost had me believing your fairy tale. You almost made it.
Harry, listen to
me. All I want you to do is sign this release and clear out.
No.
You heard what I said, Ruth.
I'll never sign it.
Okay. One last trick, baby. Look what I got in this drawer. I asked you to look.
Harry, put away that gun.
I want you to get a good look at it. It's called a war souvenir. Only if you don't sign this release, you know what, baby? Someday I'm going to kill you with this gun.
No,
someday
no.
I'm going to say to you, Ruthie, I'll give you 3 seconds to sign this release. One.
Harry.
2.
Don't, Harry!
3.
No!
What's the matter, Ruth?
You try to kill me.
Don't be silly. I told you it was a trick. The gun's harmless. It's unloaded, see?
Why did you do that to me? Why?
Yeah.
Put it away.
Isn't that strange? You know it's not loaded and you're still afraid.
Put it away!
That's the beauty of the trick, Ruth. That's why someday you're going to break down and sign that release. You see, you'll never know just when it will be loaded. You'll never know, Ruth.
That night, I made up my bed on the couch in the den. Just hearing him walk, knowing he was in the house, kept me awake. I locked the door, and I lay there. And I must have dozed off in spite of myself, because I came awake with a sudden violence. Fresh air was fanning my face. That couldn't be. The window had been shut. But now the window was open. Harry!
If you don't sign the release, someday I'm going to give you 3 seconds. 1.
Harry!
2.
Don't shoot me, Harry!
Shoot you? You must have had a bad dream. I don't even have the gun.
Oh, no.
Threatening to kill you?
Yes, he has a gun. George, I'm coming to you. You've got
no.
to... But
if he follows you here and kills the both of us, does that make everything just dandy? Look, Ruth, do me a favor, will you? Kind of forget this address from now on.
But, George, don't say
I'm
that.
I'm sorry.
But you've got to help me. What can I do?
You can go to the police.
Police?
You know, threatening somebody's life is slightly illegal.
Yes. Yes, the police. Yes, of course, they'll help me. Oh, yes, George, that's very smart of you. They'll help me. I went to the police, told them what Harry was trying to do. They instructed one of their men to go with me and investigate. When we reached the lobby of the office building, I couldn't go on. I was afraid to face Harry when the policeman would find the gun.
What's the matter, Mrs. Martin?
Well, I think I better wait down here.
You don't need to be afraid. Come on.
Please. It's on the 3rd floor, officer. You see the name on the reception door the minute you get off the elevator. Please, do you mind?
You're really scared, aren't you? All right, I'll be down soon enough.
I began to feel a sense of relief. Harry wouldn't terrorize me any longer. Soon the officer would bring him down. We'd be off to police headquarters, and then I'd swear out a complaint. The time he got out of jail, I would have started proceedings of my own to divorce him. And then I started to cry at that. I don't know why, just standing there and waiting. And then I began to wonder what they were doing up there so long. More than a half hour had gone by. When the elevator door opened, I expected to see Harry being pushed along, handcuffed. The officer was all by himself. He was smiling.
Well, now, I just had a nice chat with your husband. You've been worrying for nothing, Mrs. Martin.
But the gun...
Oh, sure, I saw the gun. It's just a war souvenir. It's not even loaded. He doesn't have ammunition for
it. But someday it will be loaded. Someday he's going to kill me. He said that.
Kill you? Why, he's in love with you. Crazy about you. Now, he feels pretty bad about this. He did it just as a, you know, just as a funny little...
No, I tell you...
He says if you're going to go and get scared, he'll never do it again.
But listen to me.
Now, look, why don't you go on upstairs? He wants to apologize for scaring you like this. He's a very nice guy.
I tell you, he's going to kill me. I'm
you're
not...
You're just upset. Like he said, you've been working too hard. You ought to rest up.
I don't care what you think. I want him arrested. For threatening me with a deadly weapon.
An empty gun. That's not a deadly weapon.
Now listen to me.
No, you listen to me. Even if I wanted to, there's nothing I could do. As long as that gun is empty, it's not a deadly weapon and we can't touch him. In this state, that's the law, Mrs. Martin. Go ask a lawyer about it. Anybody who knows the law knows that.
Not a deadly weapon, that's that, I'm afraid. If we can actually prove, Mrs. Martin, that your husband wanted to kill you, then you could put him away for years.
For years?
That's right. But he can't hurt you with an empty gun. And as long as that gun is empty, we can't touch him. In this state, that's the law.
So there were there was nothing I could do. Nothing. Until there was a bullet in the gun, I could do nothing to it. Then the answer came to me. It was so simple, so obvious all the time. What would happen if I put the bullet in the gun? It was late Saturday afternoon. The offices were closed. I went to the desk where he kept the gun. I found the caliber marked alongside the barrel, 31.6. Put the gun back, closed the drawer. My heart was pounding. I kept saying it all the way to the gun shop. 31.6, 31.6, 31.6,
31.6. That must be a foreign make. Don't have any bullets of that caliber.
Well, do you know any place that does carry them?
No, not unless you wrote to maybe one of the big outfits back east.
But that would take so long.
Of course, a 32 shell would work just as well if you weren't so fussy.
No, that'd be fine. I'm not at all fussy. I went back to the office. I took out his gun and broke it open. And I opened my purse, took the bullets out. Years in prison, that's what the lawyer said. Well, it'd serve him right after what he'd made me go through. I forced the bullets inside the gun and closed it. Now it was a deadly weapon. I put the gun back in the drawer. I went to my desk to call the police. Now they'd see the gun for themselves. Now they'd see Harry planned to kill me. Years in prison, yes, that's what I wanted him to get.
Police headquarters.
This is Mrs. Martin. My husband has just threatened me with a loaded gun, and I...
Yeah, just a moment, Mrs. Martin. I'll connect you with Sergeant Lewis.
Harry.
Calling George, Ruth?
You think you're so clever, don't you?
No, I'm not very clever. Thought I'd take a ride in the country. Thought it would relax me. Nothing seems to relax me anymore. Everything going to pot around here.
I'll be going.
Still not interested in this release, huh?
I've told you a million times.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see you later.
What's your rush? You're not interested in the release, then maybe you might be interested in this souvenir.
Harry.
Turn around and look at it, Ruth. It's part of the little trick, you know.
No.
I said turn around.
Oh.
Isn't it remarkable? Even after all this time, it still fills you with terror.
Put the gun down, Harry.
Someday, it's going to be like I always said.
Don't start that again.
Someday, I'm going to say, Ruth, I'll give you 3 seconds to sign that release. One.
No.
Two.
No. Three. No, don't shoot. I'll sign it.
All right, go on.
Put the gun down on the desk.
First, sign it, Ruth. Here's the pen. Sign it.
All right. There. Now, please put down the gun.
Yeah, all right. So, I finally wore you down.
Now, I've got the gun.
What do you think you're going to do with it?
There's something you don't know, Harry, that should interest you very much. This gun isn't empty anymore.
Good Lord.
No, it's loaded.
So that's what you were doing in the sporting goods shop.
You followed me everywhere, haven't you?
Yeah. I was in luck.
The gun is loaded, Harry. So give me back the paper.
Sorry, Ruth. Not this.
Harry, if you don't give me back the release, I'm going to count three. Just like you, remember? And then I'm going to pull the trigger. Only this time it won't just click. So give me back the paper. All right. One. I tell you, there are bullets in this gun.
I may have it, Ruth.
Give me the paper.
Give me the gun, Ruth.
I mean it, Harry. I'll kill you.
Ruth.
I can't hurt you anymore. I can't.
You stop the crying. Ruthie, baby. If you want the guy, you can have him. And your share of the business, too. The whole works if you want it.
I never wanted anyone but you, Harry.
I must have been crazy. The things I've been doing. Like a crazy dream. Like it wasn't really me. Could you ever understand what went on inside me? Could you try to understand? Do you think you could, Ruth?
Yes, I could try.
Baby. Hey, did you hear what I said? Don't cry. Please, don't cry.
Oh, let me, Harry. Please let me.
Suspense, presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Ida Lupino, with Elliot Lewis.
Next Thursday for Suspense, Danny Kaye will be our star. The play is called I Never Met the Dead Man. And it is, as we say,
a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Tonight's Suspense play was produced and edited by William Spear and directed by Norman MacDonald. Music for Suspense is composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The Bullet is an original radio play by Larry Marcus. Ida Lupino appeared through the courtesy of Filmmakers Incorporated, producers of Never Fear, soon to be released. In the coming weeks, you will hear such stars as Robert Taylor, William Powell, and Ozzie and Harriet Nelson. And don't forget, next Thursday, same time, Autolite will present Suspense, starring Danny Kaye.
You can buy Autolite resistor or regular spark plugs, Autolite staple batteries, Autolite electrical parts at your neighborhood Autolite dealers. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is Suspense with the Bullet, starring Ida Lupino. Also in the cast, Hans Conried, William Conrad, John Daner. And you heard Harlow Wilcox doing the announcing there. Harlow was longtime announcer on Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Original broadcast date, December 29th, 1949. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.